The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to top people and ideas. Presented by U Mobile.
As part of Budget 2018, Malaysia's education sector has been allocated over 60 billion ringgit. But is money all that's required to produce academic success? This morning, we welcome Khatijah Abdullah, CEO of the Education Performance and Delivery Unit, or PADU. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Good morning. I'm glad to be here. So thank you for inviting me.
Oh, it's our pleasure. Now, let's start with PADU's mandate here. It was established in 2013. It's a unit under the Ministry of Education. Talk to us about your role in helping to transform Malaysia's education system.
Okay, thank you. Basically, PADU, Performance and Delivery Unit, was established, like you said, in 2013 as part of the strategic direction of executing the blueprint. The mandate is clearly enshrined in the blueprint itself. So if you have a chance to look at the blueprint, it's actually in Chapter 8, yeah, page 10, where it is very clearly stated there, the need for a delivery unit. Of course, when you when you drive transformation, there are many approaches. But the Ministry of Education had chosen the approach of a delivery unit to help the ministry and work together with the ministry to translate the blueprint into reality on the ground.
Mm. And also, we understand that this current Malaysian education blueprint is set to take us all the way to 2025. It's different versus the previous, I guess, rather piecemeal policies that are out there. Talk to us about how the Malaysian education blueprint will be different from its predecessors.
Yes, I think before this, there were a lot of efforts in actually looking at how we can improve the education system. And there have been a lot of success stories. However, this time around, the current education blueprint has been designed in such a way that it is the most comprehensive reform of education system. And that has been endorsed by world bodies like the World Bank and UNESCO. And they have admitted that by far this is the most comprehensive education reform done by any country. Now, by the time we actually developed the blueprint, it has gone through various process, which was quite rigorous, where it is by far, number one, the largest engagement with the public, both, public sector, private sector, and all the stakeholders. Number two, it is benchmarked against international standards. So it's not just us looking at it within the context of Malaysia, but we look beyond. And number three, which is the distinct feature of this blueprint, is the fact that it was realized a lot of transformation program actually fail. In fact, 70%, research has shown 70% fail because there is no consistent monitoring. So it's sort of, you have the hype the first few years and then after that, it dies off. Therefore, it was important that a delivery unit, which is an independent unit, is set up to ensure that the momentum and the rigor is sustained throughout the journey. That's where PADU was created.
And you raised plenty of talking points there. You mentioned the World Bank. You say they have endorsed this blueprint, or rather the delivery unit approach. Yet they also highlighted a lack of tracking when it comes to targeting and expenditure, right? And this is specifically to PADU's approach here. So how can you reassure taxpayers that there will be cost efficiencies, that you will use the funds allocated to you by the government in the most efficient way?
Yeah. The World Bank actually sort of recognized our role, the importance of our role in facilitating the execution of the blueprint. However, the delivery unit is not the only approach. There are many other approaches. But within the context of the blueprint and the context of PADU, yes, part of our role is to work with the ministry to see how we can better manage the expenses. And one of the aspiration is actually efficiency. So we need to look at how we can maximize every dollar that is being spent. And we also work with the ministry, in particular the finance division of the ministry. For example, I think in 2016, due to that collaboration, we were able to actually identify duplication, and we were able to reprioritize certain efforts. And there was almost I can't remember exactly the numbers. I think 240 46 million or 276 million of cost savings. And that's part of that teamwork and the collaboration between PADU and the Ministry of Education, rigorously looking at all the expenses. And that approach is now being continued.
For this year, for example, right, Budget 2018, like I mentioned earlier, the allocation for the Education Ministry, 60 billion ringgit. Yet, when you look at the results that are coming out of the public education system, let's face it, right, it's lackluster. We are below the global average for reading, math, sciences when it comes to the PISA scores, right? So what does that tell you about the effectiveness of, say, this blueprint or any other initiative that the public education sector undertakes?
That's the whole reason why the blueprint was created in the first place. Yeah, I think there was a need for us to relook at the current system. We have a lot of successes, but of course there are areas that we need to improve, especially for the country to be globally competitive in the future, for our current generation, our school children at the moment, to be able to be dynamic workforce of the future. So that's where we are looking at all. If you look at all the areas that we're looking at, if I may, very often we get what you call feedback, yeah, from the public, which we welcome, on suggestions that we need to look at certain areas. But quite often those areas are already areas that we're looking at. In fact, we are doing a lot of things in those areas. So with that, I'm assuming quite a lot of people have not really read the blueprint. So we are quite happy because then we are in alignment. So what the public actually want is what are the things that we're actually doing now. So if I may, very quickly, there are a few fundamentals that we need to understand about the blueprint. Yeah? Number one, it is based on the five system aspirations. And when we talk about system, we are looking at access, we are looking at quality, equity, unity and efficiency. So that's looking at the system, the whole ecosystem of the education system. Then if we focus on the student aspiration, what sort of person that we want to develop, yeah, through the education system? So we have identified six student aspirations. We want our students to be knowledgeable, number one. They have strong thinking skills. They have strong leadership skills. They have at least bilingual proficiency, strong in their ethics and spirituality, and they have a national identity. So those are the two aspirations where the landscape of the blueprint. Yeah, but over and above that, what's important, which is the levers for the change, would be the 11 shifts for the system transformation. Now, these 11 shifts are the areas that we are working on into micro details. Yeah, for example, I just give you an example, and I would encourage everyone to actually log into our website or the ministry website to know more about the 11 shifts. So things like, for example, if you look at the first one is provide equal access to quality education of international standard. Shift two will be to ensure every child is proficient in Bahasa Malaysia and English language and is encouraged to learn an additional language. Then shift three will be develop value-driven Malaysians, transform teaching into the profession of choice, because we are doing a lot at the moment to inject quality among the teaching profession, and then also leadership. Yeah, that would be shift five. So there are 11 shifts. I don't want to go on into all, yeah, but these are the key levers. Yeah, ICT, the importance of ICT to be incorporated into the teaching and learning, the involvement of parents. For example, we receive a lot of feedback, you know, on the ground that, oh, you should involve more parents. Yeah, but that's already what we are doing now. And there's a lot of very encouraging improvements and statistics to show that parents are more involved now.
You outline all these aspirations, sure. But then you can't discount the disconnect that's still prevalent. Again, you pointed out 70% of such initiatives fail across developing countries. How will Malaysia be the exception then?
We are very optimistic because the statistics at the moment has shown that we're on the right track. Many encouraging achievements that we have done. The blueprint is divided into three waves. The first three years will be the first wave, which is 2013, 14 and 15, where we were actually looking at the fundamentals. Now we're into the second wave. So if you look at the achievement of the first wave, which we actually had an external auditor to audit, that is to give it credibility and also to give some validation to the actual results. We achieve 87%. So I think that's very encouraging under a lot of constraints that we have. So that remaining 30% will now spill over to the second wave. And we will continue to raise the bar, so to speak. Another example, during wave one, we were more concerned about connectivity, if you're talking about IT. So we're trying our best to get, as many schools as possible to be connected. It's still, not 100% yet, but we're quite encouraged that through that initiative, at least, if I'm not mistaken, during the first wave, at least 7,000 schools are already connected. Yes, the bandwidth may still be a bit low, but we are now moving it up. Moving to the second wave, it's no longer about connectivity that we're concerned, but the quality of that connectivity. So we want to look at how many students actually log on into, all this learning, virtual learning environment.
Right. Under wave one, you achieved about 87% of your KPI. I guess going back to our school days, 87%, it's a high B, low A, right, more or less. Now, would you see it as a success? Because when wave one ended, 2015, we also had the PISA scores. Again, math, reading, sciences among the 15-year-olds here in Malaysia, still below the global average. Was wave one a success?
Well, PISA is just one indicator.
But it's one of your key targets as well, correct?
Yeah, but it's just one. I mean, we have so many other indicators that we need to look at, like enrollment. There's so many. We produce the annual report every year in order to be transparent. So there, I think you can have a better overview and a fairer assessment of all the things that we have done. And we are quite transparent. There are a lot of achievements, but at the same time, there are areas that we need to improve because sometimes we underestimated the complexity of a particular area. As much as we want it to be done, but as you go into that particular initiative, then you realize you need to untie a lot of knots. So that's where, it's a living document. So, education, it's dynamic. So new things emerge. So we are tweaking it as we move along over the years.
And we'll get into those knots in the second half of this chat here. But in the spirit of transparency, as you mentioned earlier, can you give us an idea as to how much has been allocated for the Malaysian Education Blueprint?
For this year, we're quite pleased that the ministry has been given 260 million ringgit.
For 1 year?
For 1 year, just for the blueprint itself, yeah.
Right.
So
and
that's an additional 10 million compared to last year's budget. Last year, we received 250 million.
So pretty much from 2013 until now, on average, about 200 plus million per year?
Yes.
So in other words, 1 billion ringgit has already been spent on the Malaysian Education Blueprint.
Yes.
All right. And can we expect that moving forward as well, about 200 plus million per year until 2025?
Well, it depends on the needs because every year we sit through and prioritize some of the things that we want to do and then, look at the PPPM, Plan Pembangunan Pendidikan Malaysia, against the total requirement of the ministry. Yes, we get the biggest slice of the budget. But the Ministry of Education is the biggest ministry. And the complexity in terms of the demographics and the geographical reach, it's huge.
Sure. We're going to take a short break. And when we come back, we'll talk about the complexities and the challenges that PADU faces. I'm speaking to Khadijah Abdullah, CEO of the Education Performance and Delivery Unit, PADU.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U-Mobile.
Thanks for staying with us here on the Breakfast Grill. I'm Tan Chung Han, and with me is Khadijah Abdullah, CEO of the Education Performance and Delivery Unit, or PADU, which is tasked under the Ministry of Education with the rollout of the Malaysian Education Blueprint. Now, Khadijah, let's talk about some of the challenges that they're facing when it comes to achieving those KPIs for the Blueprint.
I think in any transformation journey, the challenges probably would be quite similar. When you say transformation, it means speed, fast. Eh? You want things to change fast. So to me, number one would be the speed of change that's required. It's not moving as fast. Although we are moving, but if only I have a magic wand or something, to just, snap things up. But it's not easy because you're talking about moving a whole machinery of education, yeah?
Right. And where are these bottlenecks? Are these bureaucracy, or is it due to a lack of support at the grassroots level? Is it changing mindsets? Where are these pain points here, so to speak?
Well, I think you've said it all. I think it's, you know, it's everything in a nutshell. And to be fair, sometimes when you talk about bureaucracy, it's also not just within the ministry, because sometimes it's interdependent of other agencies. So when you want to move things, then sometimes you need to get the approval or get the consensus of other interdependent agencies. So that's one. Number two, of course, is about culture change. Yeah, it's about getting everybody up to speed, embracing this new way of doing things, the culture of problem solving, solution oriented. That's quite tough, yeah, because quite often in any big organization, certain culture is already fossilized. And for you to actually unearth that and make those changes, you need to overcome a lot of, resistance, and you need to continue to persevere. But to be fair, there has been a significant turnaround. We have seen a lot of changes happening. But again, changes cannot be evident over 1 or 2 years. So you'll see it more and more as we move along. The other challenge is probably data. We have a lot of data through legacy systems over the years. So it took us quite a lot of time to clean the data, to get the data, you know, accurate, to integrate various databases. And once that's done, then to educate how do you actually use the data into analytics and to use that to make your decisions. So that's, again, being done. So those are some of the, top challenges that we're facing at the moment.
One of the key aspirations for your program is unity, all right? Being able to foster the sense of unity through the Malaysian formal education system. But here's the thing, I mean, how do you even measure that? How do you determine whether or not Malaysian students and staff are more united? And how do you actually foster that via a formal education system?
Yeah, that is one of the areas that we're looking at. It is very delicate. Of course, when we started, it was more of putting people together, the children together, play together, and activities that we can put them together. That again was very successful, but it is surface. As I said, in the first wave, okay, fine, that's done. So now into the second wave, we need to go deeper. It is actually meaningful, that is actually happening. So for this year, for example, we are looking as one of our... You see, when we do our monitoring, every year we identify priority areas, which we call the primary initiatives. So for this year, we have 19 primary initiatives, which we monitor every week, very rigorously. So one of those initiatives, for the first time we are introducing this year, is what we call on ethics and values. Yeah, so it was there previously, but it was as a secondary initiative, which means it's there, but we monitor it like once a month. Yeah, so it did not become our focus. But for this year, we are putting that as one of our main focus, and we are working at the moment with various agencies to look at the framework, to look at how we can roll it out, to look at implementation issues and stuff like that.
But how's it going to be different from all the pendidikan moral classes that generations of Malaysian kids have been subjected to, right? Pretty much everybody who's gone through the formal education system has undergone pendidikan moral classes, yet there's this sense of disunity within the Malaysian population. So how will it be different this time around? And again, on top of that, you've got the added threat of social media. Many people point to that and say these kind of negative messages that are being sent, how do you even counter those kinds of influences?
That's why we are now planning, I think next week, if I'm not mistaken, sort of a task force, brainstorming workshop to look at unity within the current context. I mean, you're absolutely right. You know, we have these new challenges of social media, new challenges of, you know, the new generation looking at things differently. So we're going to identify all those areas and see how best we can structure it better. So to answer your question, it's zooming in into the current context and structuring the approach in a more practical manner, and no longer just theories. Mm. So hopefully something relevant will come out of that.
All right, hopefully. So what role does vernacular schools play in this ongoing pursuit of unity, right? A common Malaysian identity? Because if I may, I point to certain comments made by the Prime Minister, Dato' Sri Najib, recently. He reportedly said that vernacular schools are a bane to Malaysia's unity. So how do we iron out these alleged pain points here? What role does vernacular schools play when it comes to unifying the Malaysian population?
I believe if the teachers in those schools, doesn't matter, you know, whether it's national schools or vernacular school, if the teachers can embrace unity themselves and be a role model and inculcate that in the culture of the schools, we will be able to manage unity and to, in fact, strengthen unity.
Okay. What would be the ultimate goal for the Malaysian student? Is it enhancing their employability or is it enhancing their personal development? Where's the bias here?
To me, the core is always the person. The person that we need to develop. Once you get that right, I think employability comes naturally. So you need to get the right values, the right, you know, ethical conduct. And that's, again, an area that we're going to focus this year. So it's not just about employability. We are also now encouraging future generation to be, as they say, job creators rather than job seekers. I think we've been hearing, you know, a lot of this challenge of students currently in the primary school now who may be doing jobs that we don't even know today. So that's very, very difficult for us to predict what's going to come.
Right, these disruptions, right?
Things are moving so fast, you know, and there are new things. And if you look at the innovations, especially in the technology area, it's mind-boggling. It's just something that I come from the old school, that my simple old school mind find it very, very difficult to comprehend, actually.
All right. Last but not least, your goals for PADU for 2018.
Well, we are all very excited, my team and I, very excited, and things have been moving well. We work very well with the Ministry of Education. The support has been tremendous. So we just hope that it will get better and better. And at the end of the day, the blueprint will be realized. If not what it's targeted, even more than what it's targeted, hopefully.
Well, certainly wish you all the best in that endeavour, not just for your sake, not just for PADU's sake, but also for Malaysia as a whole. Thank you so much for taking the time to speak to us. That was Khadijah Abdullah, CEO of the Education Performance and Delivery Unit. I'm Tan Chung Han, and this is BFM 89.9, the business station.
That episode of BFM Breakfast Grill was brought to you by U-Mobile, where data hearts you.